If you were present for our Bible class here in the auditorium this morning, you heard Mike give an extremely good presentation about the work that he and Gail, the boys, and others there at the Thicket Road Church are doing. And it strikes me that we need to regularly think about the partnership that we have with those who work in places like this, the fact that they are giving us an opportunity to be represented for the sake of the gospel around the world. We appreciate Mike and Gail. We have had a relationship with them for 15 years. They came here to go to college and were members of the Estes Church, and then for the last 13 years have been working Cape Town, South Africa. And we've enjoyed the presentation that Mike has already made this morning. Looking forward to him preaching the gospel to us today. Thanks, Mike.
Good morning. I want to say a big thank you again to everyone here and for allowing us to be here. Big thank you to the elders for the wonderful support that we have in Cape Town because of Estes. We're able to do the work that we're able to get done as well. Special thank you to everyone here at Estes for always sending us little notes of encouragement and Christmas cards. We enjoy getting them in July every year. We look forward to that Christmas time in July. And we just appreciate the love that we have from you. It's just so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. We love and appreciate Estes. What is your life? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We've had to say goodbye to many of our brethren back home, loved ones who have gone to be with the Lord. Of those that I've buried, my mom leaving us was one of the more sensitive ones and tender ones, and I miss my mom every day. The Bible says that blessed are they that die in the Lord, and we do not mourn as those who have no hope. And so I am grateful to be part of this path that the Lord has placed us on, because in Christ Jesus we have this glorious hope to be with Him one day. We have this glorious promise that we have of eternal life because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. James therefore brings into question a very pertinent question for us in our discussion here this morning by asking, what is your life? It's probably meaning, why do you value it so much? Why do we place so much value on our very lives? Why do we emphasize and place so much emphasis on the very lives that we have, knowing that we will be here for a little while only, he says. The psalmist says in Psalm 90 and verse 10, 70 and if by reason of strength maybe 80 years, then that's all that you have been given. We are not to live here forever. James says, what is your life? It is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I was thinking to myself, if this is the case, then what kind of life are we to live then? How should I live my life before God while I am here on this earth? I believe number one, as we consider the discussion this morning, is I should be loving the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, to love God completely. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5, the word of God says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The Bible says, if I'm going to live my life here on this earth, I must live it for the one true God. The Lord your God, He is one. There is no one like Him. There's no one like God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He made the heavens and the earth, and He gives us life and breath and everything else that we have in this life. Yes, in Him we live and move and have our being. There's no one like Him. The Lord our God, He is one. We have heard this many times over and over, but do we believe it? And do we live this out in our lives daily? In verse 5 He says, Love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Meaning, love Him with every fiber of your being, if it is. Love Him with every fiber of your being. Love Him first. Love Him more. Love Him before anyone or anything else in your life. Love the Lord your God completely. Tell God you had me at the cross. Love Him completely. The songwriter says, Live for Jesus. That's what matters. Live for Jesus. That's what matters. Nothing should take the place of Jesus in our lives. No one should come before the Lord. No one, not even our spouses, our children, our pets, our loved ones, should come before the Lord, because we ought to love Him with all of our being, with all of who we are. I love that in Daniel, these three young men honored and loved God enough not to defile themselves. I love how that Joseph loved God enough not to give in to Mrs. Potiphar. I love how Daniel honored and loved God enough not to bow down to an idol, because he loved God, loved the Lord his God, with all that he had, with his very life. Why should we love God this way? Why should we love God this way? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, if we read further, we find in verse 20, God says to them, when your children ask why, tell them what the Lord has done for you. You love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And they ask, why should we do this, Father? Why should we love God this way? Tell Him, because of what He has done for you. Because of what He has done for us. Tell them of how they were rescued from Egypt. How God brought them across the Red Sea. How He provided for them in the desert. How that they received water from a rock and manna from heaven. Tell them why, because this is why we ought to love God. It reminds me of the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5. We know that the people of the town were very scared of him. He was demon-possessed and he was cutting himself and running through the graves, if you will, the tombstones there. But when he met up with Jesus, he was whole again. He was being made whole again. And he sat clothed and in his right mind and said to Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to go wherever you go. I want to be with you. But Jesus said to him, go tell others what the Lord has done for you. Go and tell others what the Lord has done for you. Isn't that what evangelism is? Isn't that what missions is all about? Telling what God has done for us. When we look at our own lives and we look at why we should love the Lord, has He not been good to us? Has God not been good to us? Has He not kept us in the hollow of His mighty hand? Has He not, through Jesus, given us life again? Has He not saved us from our sin? He died, Jesus did. He died on the cruel cross of Calvary for you and for me. He saved us from a life without hope, a life without purpose, a life without meaning. This is Jesus. He has done so much for us. He has blessed us beyond measure. He has placed in our path His holy word that we have today, able to sustain us spiritually. And He's given us life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He has done so much for us. Shouldn't we love God? John 3:16 we know so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved us enough to give Jesus Christ for all of mankind. Yes, God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. And I love, in one of my favorite passages in the Bible, is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, has lavished on us, says the NIV, that we should be called the children of God. And then John says, and that is what you are. So many times we are told that we are nothing. So many times we are looked down because we serve a holy God. But we are the children of God. We belong to Him. And He has lavished His love on us. And if life is but a vapor, shouldn't we love God back? Shouldn't we love Him with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our minds, and all our strength? How can we show our love towards God then? Very quickly. Number one, keep His commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says that His commands are not burdensome. So let's love God by keeping His commandments. Remember, obedience is better than sacrifice. Number two, share the message of the gospel. The message of God's love. Share this, as we see in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, Matthew 28, 18-20, Mark 16, 15 and 16. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that has made it possible for us to be found in Christ Jesus, to have this glorious hope, to receive this love of God. If life is but a vapor, let's keep His commandments. Let's share the message of the gospel. Number three, let's love one another. Jesus says, By this shall all men know, John 13, 34, 35, that you are my disciples if you love one another. People in the world look at us. They look to us as Christians. Jesus says, people will know that you are mine if you love one another. How about number four? If life is so short, we ought to live our lives for Jesus. Paul says in Philippians 1, 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I need to live my life for Him. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This life that I now live, I live for Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We need to live for Jesus. And then number five, we need to be ready for His coming. We need to be ready for His coming. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about the fact that, man, it's gone so many years and Jesus has not yet come. How can you tell us that we ought to be ready for the coming of Christ? But Peter says in verse 9, He's not slow in His coming, keeping His promise of coming, but He wants everyone to be saved, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready for the coming of Christ. If life is so short, let's love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength. Number two, if life is but a vapor, then don't worry about tomorrow. Let's not be worried about tomorrow. In Matthew 6, 25, 34, Jesus deals with this very topic. And He says in verse 25 to 27, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat and what you will drink, about your body or what you will wear. And aren't these the things that we worry about sometimes? He says, is not life more than food? And your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father, He says, He feeds them. Then I love this very statement. Are you not much more valuable than they? If God feeds the birds of the air and looks after nature, how much more won't He take care of us? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour, He says, to your life? If your life is but a vapor, then don't worry about tomorrow, what you will eat or drink, because God will provide. And I've seen this. I've seen this in the ministry. I've seen this in my life. I know that God is faithful, that God will come through for us. He provided for Israel in the wilderness from water from the rock, manna from heaven. He provided Abraham a ram in the thicket. I had to bring in thicket for Thicket Road here. He provided for Abraham a ram in the thicket. Because God always provides when we are faithful to Him like Abram was. Jesus fed the thousands and saw to the needs of many. And yes, God provided a way out of sin for you and for me through Jesus Christ our Lord. He provided for us. And we don't have to worry because life is short. God will provide. So many run after the temporal things of this life, but to no avail. It cannot bring true happiness. I have seen this as well. Many run after money. Many run after trying to find and live the good life. But they fail to see that the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. I can think of five men back home who are no more in the Lord because of the love of money. They have given up their salvation to have money in this life. And it has only caused them heartache and tears. And a date with God in judgment one day. Jesus tells a parable in chapter 12 of Luke about the rich fool. And He asks this question to him, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? If you're working for all these things and you're accumulating all these things and you're just going to live your life and have everything you want, He says, who will get what you have prepared for yourself when your life is taken from you? He says in verse 21, this is how it will be to anyone who stores up for themselves but is not rich towards God, is not willing to live for God. We cannot be so concerned about our own pocketbooks or bank accounts that we lose heaven in the process, brethren. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things that you worry about, all these things that you want in your life, God will provide those things. You rather see to God first. You honor God with your life. Jesus says in Mark chapters 8 and verse 36, 37, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Of course, the answer is nothing. He will gain nothing, for we are nothing without Jesus. We are nothing without the Lord in our lives. In asking this question, what is your life? We have to conclude that we must trust in God every day. We must trust in God every day. We trust people, we trust things, we must trust God as well. When the boys was much younger, they watched Aladdin all the time. And this, it was this one time when Aladdin asked Jasmine, where's the parents in the room here? Asked Jasmine, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Are you willing to trust me and know that I will take care of you? That's what God wants for us to know many times. Do you trust me, child of God? Because I will take care of you. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 to 6, the Proverb writer says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge God and He will direct your steps. He will make clear or straight your path. And I love this invitation song. I don't know what number it is in the book here, but it's trust and obey, for there's no other way. Gail, whenever she puts the slides together for the songs on Sunday morning, she asks, what is your invitation song? What do you want for us to sing? And I'll say, trust and obey. But what's the lesson about? It's nothing to do with that, because we still want for people to trust and obey. And this is what God wants from us. He wants us to trust and obey. We have to trust God and have faith in Him. The Hebrew writer says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can't always see God, but we need to have faith and trust that He is there and that He will come through for us. God works in the realm of the impossible. God works in the realm of I can't anymore and I need God to take over. He works in the realm of the impossible. We saw this realm of impossible right in Chicago just as we were coming into the country, as we were standing in front of the customs officer asking us, interrogating us about why we're coming to the U.S., and there was one moment when I thought to myself, we are going back home, Gail, because it looks like He doesn't want for us to come in. But I prayed and I trusted in God. And I stand here before you today knowing that we serve a living God. Knowing that we serve a mighty God. That it's not because of this man that let us in, but it's God's will that we are here this very day. We need to trust God. In verse 6 of chapter 11, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. We must believe. We must believe He rewards us. We must be pleasing of God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, Paul says, we make it our goal to please Him. We make it our goal to please Him. Let it be a credit to us here today not to worry about tomorrow, because our lives are but a vapor and it is in God's hand. Point number 3. If your life is but a vapor, then make your calling and election sure. There should be no doubt in the mind of the follower of Christ Jesus that he or she is on the right path. We are on the right path. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and virtue, by which He has been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, and through these you may partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. He says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an inheritance will be supplied to you abundantly into an everlasting kingdom of the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, if your life is but a vapor, make sure that you are found in Jesus, because He has made it possible for us by giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have that from God by giving us exceedingly great and precious promises that we will one day be with Him on high. And He has giving us a way never to stumble, and that way is found only in Jesus Christ, only because and through Him, and that He has given us an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by our remaining faithful to Him, continuing to love God and trust in Him. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, 13 to 14, enter through the narrow gate, He says, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. We are on the road, we are on this narrow road, unlike those who have entered the broad road leading to destruction. We are on this narrow road because we are seekers of the truth, because we are seekers of the love of God, seekers of what is eternal and not temporal. And yes, we are on this narrow road because We search until we found Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if life is but a vapor, we have to make sure that we are on this right path with Him that leads to life. Here's a question: how can we make our calling and election sure? Very quickly, by using our talents that He has given us. Making our calling and election sure by using the talents that God has given to us. And we see and we know this parable in Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. This man who hid his talent that was been given to him. But we need to use the talent that God has given us. And each one of us know what our talents are before God, right? We need to use it to bless His church. Use it to bring others to Jesus. Use it or we will lose it. We need to use what God has given us. How else can we make our calling and election sure? I believe, number two, by sharing the gospel. By sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 9:37, "The harvest are plentiful, but the workers are few." The harvest is plentiful, and we've seen this, you know, as Estes, as a mission church, you know the harvest are plentiful, but the workers are few. Let's be sharing this gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "It is the power of God unto salvation." It is God's power to save mankind, and there are so many who are lost. Paul writes and he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and following, that in this gospel we stand, in this gospel, by this gospel we are saved. And so how do we make this calling and election sure? We make it sure by sharing this gospel that has been given to us. Number three, how do we make this calling and election sure? I believe by not getting involved in civilian affairs. By not getting involved in civilian affairs. Our home is heaven, and so we stay focused. Our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, I've got South African citizenship, and I've got a heavenly citizenship, and so do we as well. And Paul writes, and he says in Philippians 3:20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." He warns Timothy as a soldier of the Lord in 2 Timothy 2:3-4, "Join with me in the suffering," he says, "like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." Paul says, don't get involved in civilian affairs, rather. As a soldier, strive to please your commanding officer. Do what God expects you to do. Do the work that has been set out for you to do. And so many times we get sidetracked in our Christian walk with God, don't we? We get sidetracked by things of this world and the things that so easily occupy us and the topics of this world, whether it's politics, as our brother said early on, the U.S. politics, whether it's sports, it's Super Bowl Sunday today, and many will stay at home for the evening service or not go to evening service because of it. There's the Golden Globes and the Oscars and movies, and Satan takes all these things to distract us and not be focused on what God wants us to be and do. That is why sometimes we forget. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, that God has set aside work for us to do in advance. We have so much to do for the Lord. Matthew 28:18-20, he says, Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15-16, he says, "Go baptizing people. Go proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Let us not be sidetracked by the civilian affairs." We have this dog shelters at home, and they have the slogan there asking people to take in these dogs as part of their forever families and their forever homes. We too have a forever home, and that home is in heaven. Let's remember to be focused on that. He says in Matthew 6:19, "Do not store for yourself treasures here on earth, but rather in heaven." In Colossians chapter 3, I love what he says here, Paul. He says, "Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, set your minds on things above where Christ is seated." And then he says, "When Christ, who is your life, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory." And the question there is Christ your life this morning? Is Christ Jesus your life this morning? As we conclude this morning then, James says in James chapter 4, as we read early on, "What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it is gone. If this is true, then we ought to love God with all our hearts, brethren." We need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. We ought not to worry about tomorrow, about the things of tomorrow, about the cares of this world, because God will provide for us. If this is true, we need to make our calling and election sure. It is Satan's aim for us to lose our salvation. It is Satan's aim for us not to go to heaven one day, but we cannot allow for that to happen. It is God's will for everyone to come to repentance, for everyone to be saved, and that is why He sent Jesus, and that is why He left us the message of the gospel in our hands. We have an opportunity this day. Time does not stand still, and neither should we. We have got to remember that we are here to do the Lord's will, both now and forevermore. While it is still today, we have an opportunity to make right with God, a chance to start over, to change our lives, if you will, to do what God wants us to do. Jesus Christ died for you and me. He gave His life so that we might have life. If you are here this morning and you are subject to the invitation to come to Jesus, won't you come? As together we stand and sing a hymn of invitation. Thank you, brethren.